Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I gotta fuck with this again? Come on, man. Hey, test. No, shit. Test. No. Testing. What was this? Okay, what do we got to do here, man? Testing. Test. Test. Hi, it's Phil. And so, you know, we talk like this, and it's kind of quiet, and we do our thing. Then I talk like this, and, you know, it's like that. But that was something that I was hoping would not happen because of the midgets that... Anyway, let's do this. All right. That's how I do sound checks and level tests, because I are not a professional engineer. Oh. Right? Because I listened to the podcast Tuesday... Fucking audio on that, the audio on it was completely fucked up. It was all over the goddamn place. You know, every time, you know, what happened to the goddamn manual on this fucking board, by the way? Reek. Hello. Whiff Billingsley here with the news. Oh, you're looking at half my face in darkness? Yeah, I am getting that light bulb. I will. I'm lazy. What can I tell you? I'm fucking lazy. So anyway, welcome to our pre-show here. This is Thursday? No, today's Wednesday, right? Which means I've got 1, 2, 3 days to get my fucking shit together. Get a sports jacket and everything to the cleaners, because on Saturday night we're going to my friend's place 30th anniversary. Got invited to that. I'm very, very grateful. And that should be fun. That'll be seeing a lot of old friends and a lot of new friends. And good Lord, you know, my friend's place... And I'm not saying I didn't put, you know, let me say this. My friend's place was in existence. Steve Lepore founded it out of the trunk of his car. He was an attorney. No, he was an accountant working for Landmark Entertainment. He was an accountant. And he'd come to his car every night there on Hollywood Boulevard or wherever it was. And all these street kids would gather around asking him for money. And he finally said to them, he said, well, what do you want the money for? And they said, we want to get something to eat. He said, I'm going to be here on Friday with, this is the story Steve tells, and I believe it. He said, I'm going to be here Friday, and I'll have, like, however many kids were there. Oh, I know. He was talking to one kid. That's right. He says, what do you need this money for? The kid says, something to eat. He said, come here on Friday, and I will have a Boston Market dinner for you. Remember Boston Market? I don't know if they're still in existence. And the kid said, and I got to hand it to the kid, he goes, could you bring about 12 more? And he said, why? He says, I got 12. Frankly, I've got 12 friends, you know, who could use a dinner, too. So he shows up on Friday, and he's got 12 Boston Market dinners. This was the beginning of my friend's place. And the decision was made by Steve early on. This is not going to be a shelter. We're not a homeless shelter. The kids can sleep there overnight. There are resources like you can find jobs. You can call home. And a lot of them couldn't call home because they weren't runaways. They were throwaways. The kids, they were kicked out of the house. See, that's the dirty secret of the street kids of America. They're not runaways. They got nowhere to go because their parents threw them out. Can you imagine there are human beings like that? Well, but nothing surprises us anymore. And I'm also kind of grooving on the sound of my voice with this new compression level. It's just tightly packed, and I just sound so fucking sexy. Anyway, will you be staying at... No, I know what I'm saying. The idea was, we're not going to be a shelter. It's a place to sleep, a safe place to sleep. That's number one. Number two, there'll be emergency medical service, and anything heavier than that will get you to the hospital. I believe they had a nurse on call, or at least a nurse. There will be a telephone to use, job listings, and, immediate things. You couldn't hang out. No hanging out in the fucking place. You're not staying there all goddamn day. You got a place to sleep, and you have, and I believe they had food, and they had clothes. So if you needed something to wear, they had clothes. And I think it was as hardcore as it sounds to, you know, throw the kids, not throwing them out, but just saying, okay, great, guys. Nice to see you. Remember, you can come back tonight. And they would have lunch. And you know, come on back at noon. We'll have lunch for you. Something like that. But you got to get out of here. You got to go out, and you got to start making something out of your fucking life. You're not going to do it sitting in here. And I'm sure if Steve was here, he'd be able to tell you, be much more eloquent. So that was, and then comes Phil Hendry in from Miami, and I've got the idea that we would do in L.A. what we did in Miami. We didn't do it in Miami. It was really Neil that got the Center One support going. Center One was a resource center for people affected by HIV and AIDS. Doctors, medicine, information, outreach, all kinds of stuff. And we raise money for them every year with our Best of WIOD CDs. So I thought when I got to L.A., this is a great idea. We can make a CD of the show. I already had it. We were already successful with it in Miami, so I knew it would work. And you know, and then, but the only thing is, what charity were we going to use? And so I said on the air, I said, we want to work with a charity to raise money for you. And I had one that reached out to us, and then they heard the show, and they didn't want to have anything to do with us. Whatever. And then Steve emailed me or called me. He said, yeah, man, we'd be happy to work with you in any way, shape, or form. I said, okay, cool. And it was about, that's about how it went. And they were there with us when we had our CD sales. They were there helping us sell. They were helping us set up tables. They helped us, with just organizing the people that came to visit, came to get their CD signed, to buy a CD. And we kind of learned together how to do this thing, because I'd never done it. I mean, I didn't organize the stuff in Miami. It was organized by somebody else at the station. So it was, if I didn't know shit about it, KFI, bless their hearts. I mean, their heart was in the right place. They knew even less, because L.A. is not the most, it's just not known as a big charity town. I mean, I know that there's big fundraisers, and they raise a lot of fucking money, Cedar Sinai and all that bullshit, but I'm talking about grassroots charity, just little nickel and dime shit. This town at that time wasn't known for that. And anyway, that's a whole other thing that I could go into a whole story about that. But so just like that, and we had signings. We had midnight signings. We had New Year's Eve signings. We had signings in North Hollywood, all over the city. Orange County, we had a huge Christmas signings down there at, you remember the place down there in Orange County? What the name of that, the Grove, not the Grove. It was a mall, and I believe we were at a, what do you call it? What's the gaming place for adults? I can't remember. And there was one we went to in Arcadia, where I grew up. There was the Fashion Plaza there. Anyway, that was it. And then we would sing, "Will You Be Staying?" So on Saturday night comes the 30th anniversary of my friend's place. And when 30th, so the 2018, 20, so they were 10 years old, and we hooked up with them. See, this is 18. And we started with these guys in the spring or maybe summer, I don't remember, of 1997. So it was like their ninth year. Wow, man, they'd been around a long time before we met them. And when I left KFI and we stopped our association, they had developed relationships with Cirque du Soleil. The Cirque du Soleil had a workshop there where they would teach the kids how to gymnastics and tumbling and these kinds of things that sort of you need to know before you work yourself into like the big time there with an organization like Cirque du Soleil. I don't know that they were actually training kids to become, you know, acrobats slash ballet artists. But and then a lot of celebrities started kicking in, and it got to be really great, you know. So
there it is. And then we're gonna go and do. I'm gonna go there.
Will you be staying after Sunday? Or drop dead on Monday?
What?
That's really interesting. Boop, 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 boop. What the holy hell? What, man? I don't get it, man. All right. God, I'm sweating like a fucking hog. A hog on high. A hog on a new high. Is minus 3 9 minutes. Mueller told Trump's attorneys the president remains under investigation, but not currently a criminal target. A London-based lawyer was ordered to serve 30 days in prison after a federal judge Tuesday handed down the first sentence in special counsel investigation Russ Dotboob. Alex van der Zwaan, 30, a son-in-law of a prominent-based Russian, pled guilty Friday to lying to the FBI about his contacts in September and October with a business associate, one-time Trump campaign chairman, and with Manafort, the doop-deep-dee. What I did was wrong. I apologize to the court for my conduct. I apologize to my wife and my family. What, 30, how many days in prison? He's ordered to serve 30 days. 30 days in the hole. That's what they give you. 30 days in the hole. Well, you lie to the FBI, man. That's against the law. They don't like that at all. They don't like it. They don't like it. Cops hate that. And you can go to jail for lying to a cop. It's hard for me to think that Gates, Manafort, all those guys are going down for the count. I never thought that Trump was going to be, they were going to find enough shit on him. Never. Unless there's a, you know, that smoking gun where there's a recording of Trump saying, listen, I've been in touch with these Ruskies and let's keep this under wraps. And, you know, that was the mistake that Nixon made, was he taped every fucking thing. And you could hear him dead to rights saying, you know, we can get a hold of some hush money. That Trump doesn't strike me as a guy that is that dumb. I mean, he's dumb, but you got to be pretty dumb to be dumb like Richard Nixon. Okay, whatever. Russian billionaire private briefings. One count of lying. German con who owns the Alpha Group, Russia's largest financial and industrial investment group, told William Schwartz, penalized him and argued he deserved consideration for his loss of his career, for the suffering of his wife who's expecting the couple's first child. What do you mean, loss of his career? Loss, well, he got disbarred. Can't you get back in? I don't know. I don't know anything about it. It's unusual conduct to make a false statement and then immediately provide proof of a false statement. All right. Fuck this. You gotta watch your ass. You know what I'm saying? You really got to watch your ass. What are these fucking noises I'm hearing around here, man? This whole building, there's been noises all night. The fuck? Is it the neighbors or something? Is there somebody? Whew. Wow. Federal authorities in Dallas have arrested one of the designers of a Kansas water park slide that killed a little boy. I'm not going to tell you how. You're just going to have to look it up. Trent Touchstone, chief deputy of the U.S. Marshal Service in Dallas on Tuesday, that 72-year-old John Timothy Schooley was met by agents at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport late Monday. Schooley will be held in Dallas pending his arraignment and extradition to Kansas on charges that include second-degree murder. That's the intentional death, you know, killing of a human being. Second degree, though it may be. You meant to kill. It's not negligent. It's not manslaughter. Man, that is, and there's only one way you can make that stick, that the guy was told that the slide, this ride was unsafe, that it could possibly cause a death, and he didn't do shit about it. Then you can make that case that this is murder, you know, that this guy obviously meant to kill somebody. Well, how can you say that? We told the son of a bitch, gotta fix that thing, right? The indictment alleges Schooley lacked technical or engineering expertise in amusement park rides. Kansas grand jury last week indicted Schooley and Jeffrey Henry, a co-owner of Texas-based Schlitterbahn Water Parks and Resorts. Wow, man. This little boy died on the 17-story ride in a 2016 when the raft he was riding went airborne and hit an overhead loop. That's horrible. Just horrifying. That's horrifying. Jesus. Second-degree murder. Okay, let's go, baby. Let's rock this motherfucker, huh? And one thing I don't need printed off are the comments No, 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 no. I've never been around a fucking accident like that. I've been on rides. I've been to Disneyland. You know, it's funny. Disneyland's had deaths. The most famous being, I guess, that grad night accident in the 60s when some kid crawled up onto the monorail track and got hit by the monorail. And you can imagine what that must have looked like. That was famous around here. That was talked about for years. And then the fucking one of the ships, the bolt came loose. One of the lines on one of those big ships came loose, and somebody got hit with a fucking heavy, I don't know, some kind of a heavy piece of metal from the deck of the ship, this pirate ship at Disneyland. And it was like slingshot effect. I mean, this line was so taut that when this, I don't know what it was, like a cleat of some kind came loose, it hit the person with the force of a slingshot. And it's a piece of metal like this. So who knows what damage that did? You know, I mean, it's fucking gruesome, man. You know, the difference between having a good time on a really exciting, fun ride and a gruesome, horrifying death witnessed by all is razor thin. What the fuck is this asinine shit I'm looking at here? It's a passion play. Oh, Easter's over, though. Good Friday's over, so. Well, I don't know. I got you. Okay. I got you. All right. I got you. I understand. I tell you what, if Facebook's having a problem with fucking Russian accounts, Twitter must be just still crawling with them. Of course they are. I mean, and they're so easy to spot, it's not even funny. Oh, my God. Here's how you spot a Russian account. Ready? If they've got tens of thousands of followers, and they follow tens of thousands of people, and you never fucking heard of them in your life, they got a name like Patriotic Girl, or Flag Boy, or Don Vito, you know, or never a real name, always some bullshit. Why? Because it's hard to come up with a name. You may actually find a real name, and you can get the account shut down that way. And then all those listeners, all those followers go to waste. And never a real picture, because that's even tougher, because you may actually hit on a picture that is someone. So they do this. If you find one of those accounts that's Flag Boy and it's 30,000 followers and 30,000 follows, and the picture is of a, it's an actual photograph, but it's real grainy and fuzzy, that's a bullshit shot right there. That's a bot or a troll. Or if it's an animated, if it's a drawn picture, a cartoon, you know. The other thing that I find connotes a bot is that when you say something really inflammatory to them and they don't block you and they don't respond to you, that's a bot. Because bots are not into getting into the shit in the comments section. Bots are only into laying out the propaganda, laying out the bullshit, laying out the lies, retweeting all kinds of lies. And that's the other thing. Rarely do they ever tweet any personal information about themselves. If they do, because there was a time when people said, you'll know a bot because they don't do any personal information. So I saw one attempt to create an actual life for her, quote unquote, herself. And it was good, but it wasn't great. She found some woman with a kid that looked sort of like the picture that she'd found that looked like her, but it didn't really. And then there was this whole thing about, here we are at Todd's school. Well, there was Todd, but no pictures of mom or no pictures of dad. Just a little kid in these adult hands, you know, patting him on the head, shit like that. That was suspicious as fuck. Until finally they went away, you know. So you can, you know, and then once you find them, then you can fucking harass them. And it's pretty funny because Russians, as somebody pointed out the other day, Russians have a very difficult time with American idioms. And they also have a very difficult time with English tense. I believe it's tense. And participles. They use the wrong. They'll say, for instance, the famous Elaine Boozler line, is something sitting here? Not someone, something. That's an Eastern European mistake with English. They'll also, so they're not really familiar with how we talk about abortion around here. In America, pro-life people will generally say something like, so you're okay with murdering children, right? The Russian bot or the troll said to me, so you're all right with the killing of innocents, right? That's not an American. No American talks that way. So anyway, not that it fucking does any good, you know, because like I said, you know, you'll find one, they'll go away, and then they replace it with like 16 more. What people have taken to do, they're just, they block. And maybe blocking is the answer. I don't do a lot of blocking. Not a lot. I have a rule for blocking. And it's a rule that only I know. But it really doesn't have anything to do with anyone being nasty. Okay. It has more to do with other things. You know, the troll thing. And that kind of shit. What the fuck is this, man? What? Time shifting. Are they repeating Roseanne? She's got 25 million views. Let me see here. The comedy's first telecast after a 20-year break also hits an obscene 7.3 rating in the key demo. Roseanne's ratings riches keep climbing, hitting a record haul for Nielsen's Live Plus 3 ratings growth. The new totals for the March 27 premiere have the ABC comedy totaling 25 million viewers and a massive 7.3 rating among adults 18 to 49. Looking at just the audience, the 6.6 million viewer add-on for the premiere night is a time-shifting record, and that doesn't even include the additional 4.3 million who tuned into an encore telecast Sunday night, or the growth that we'll see from Hulu and ABC streaming. Aha! What's time Okay, hold on. I gotta get Larry Grover squared away on this. I saw a tweet by Whitney Cummings, who's the head writer on Roseanne, who said there won't be any more politics. Did you see that? I retweeted it. How the series will fail moving forward. Tuesday's second night, its third of 9 scheduled episodes overhaul, is under enormous pressure. Let me see. Where is, look who's on the show. Oh, no, it isn't. Wait a minute. Where's, what? Who are these people? Oh, there's Whitney Cummings. So that's what I was talking about. She, Roseanne Revival will never mention Trump by name for now. Oh, a 3-day playback. Is she a teacher in this show? You know? Anybody know? I'm sitting here asking these questions of no one.
Well, Roseanne, I think, let's face it, Phil, you know, the liberals, it's too bad for you. That's my philosophy. Too bad for you, too bad for the liberals. Oh, man, it's just great. And...
Take it easy, Larry, will you?
Oh, you telling me to take it easy.
No, I told Larry to quit running around here wetting himself.
I'm not wetting myself. I'm saying that I think Roseanne's comeback is an amazing thing.
Dean Wheeler joins us from Dean.
Hi, Phil. Congratulations, Larry.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're watching Roseanne. We were watching Roseanne. We were watching Roseanne, Phil. And it was quite a wonderful thing to see.
Yes.
And it was really a wonderful thing to see. I think that two things need to be said.
What do you mean two things need to be said?
Well, I think that Roseanne, I don't like the fact that it's a popular comedy that makes Donald Trump look good.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, it does. That's not how it works. I think what makes that show a success is that a great many people are just like Roseanne. They're, I don't know.
Who could,
I think that it is so wrong of ABC to be so money-grubbing.
Is that ABC? Yeah.
ABC to be so money-grubbing and so in love with a dollar because they're...
Oh, you were going to say because they're a bunch of Jews.
I was not going... Oh, God!
Well, this is a very long pre-show. Sorry about that, but...
It can't be helped, you see. It's just how it is. It's just how it is.
Roseanne's boss asks viewers...
What?
To separate Country of Stars Revival. Showrunner Bruce Helford talks... with THR, the Hollywood Reporter.
Mm-hmm.
you know, one thing I was going to tell you guys is I'm going to start doing interviews on the show. I don't know when, but I'm going to start doing interviews once a month, maybe twice a month on Fridays. So we'll do the show and then we'll have an interview, an actual, you know, interview. And one of the people that would be fun to interview, I think, would be Tom Arnold. And I wonder if I could get him on relatively quickly, you know. Well, I think I'll message him. I know he won't want to get too nuts, but maybe that's what Whitney meant by no politics. It's never going to mention Trump by name. Okay. Jesus Christ on a crutch. Christ on a crutch. I don't know. I didn't know. Where am I at, man, here? I didn't know. Christ on a crutch. I didn't know. Wait a second, man. Yes. Shit. What the fuck? All right, here we go. What do I know? What do I know, huh?
You've got me.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're groovy. What? I don't like that, man. That's pissing me off. Tell you what I'm putting down. Shit. Phil Hendry Show. What is this? Okay, so log the fuck in. We start an hour 9:37. So 10:37. We're thereabouts. 10:40. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have no idea how this bitch is gonna sound. But it should be okay because, you know, it's looking good on the VU. Yeah, man. Yeah, baby. Test 1, 3, 5, 6, 8, 2, 8, 1, 2, 6. 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1. Yeah. All right. Testing 3, 6, 9, 10. God damn it. Ah, fuck. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. All the voices you hear on the show today, everybody's in Brazil. But why shows we're not getting downloaded? All right. Here we go. Yeah. This is what we're going to do. It's like this. What are we, the last picture show? Is that the song? Okay. Testing. Bingo. Your mama? Got it. Hold on. Ah, fucking. I got an itchy back. Your mama too.